are destined to win. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and I'm glad you could join us for another Word of Faith Netcast. And today we're going to be talking about something very important that I trust will minister to you and help you in your day-to-day life. I tell you, it's a common thing, as we're going to find out, and a lot of people need to benefit and receive the teaching from the Word of God that we're going to be talking about today. So, before we get into that, let me make a couple of announcements, and one of which is our new project that we started, helpsministry.tv. You can see it right there on the screen, and I'd encourage you to check out that website, particularly if you are a minister or are helping a minister as a part of the Helps Ministry of your local church. I'd encourage you to check out this website because it has a lot of information that I think will help you and help your church in its ministry. So I just wanted to mention that it is available for you. And we're going to be adding a lot more to that. There's going to be a lot of announcements along the lines of seminars and things that we're going to be offering through that. So good things are happening with helpsministry.tv with that project. Other things that are going on, Word of Faith Radio just keeps expanding and growing. We've got new folks on there all the time, new ministries. There's a whole segment now. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a whole segment in the evening, Monday through Friday, with different ministries, Willie George and Jesse DePlantis, and a lot of different ministries that are on Word of Faith Radio. So I'd encourage you to go check that out. Of course, that's WFR.org. We want to encourage you to listen to Word of Faith Radio. As I said, it's growing. It's expanding all the time. And some other interesting information about this, there is a service called Radio Time. Now, this service is kind of hard to explain, but it's basically like a directory of radio stations that are available through Internet radio. Well, of course, Word of Faith Radio fits right into that. So we joined that registry, and when we did that, Radio Time, again, follow me on this, gets a little complicated. Radio Time is the source for another service called MP3 Tunes. That service is on the Roku box. You say, well, what's a Roku box, Dr. Bill? Well, a Roku box is a set-top box for your TV. It's available at Roku.com, R-O-K-U.com. I've got it right there on the screen. And it's very inexpensive. The cheapest one starts at about $59 and then goes on up to $99 for their high-end one that has wireless and a lot of other features built in. But through the Roku box, you can get all kinds of internet television, much like what you're watching right here. Now, as a matter of fact, if you have a Roku box, and about 400 million people have Roku boxes or households, so that's a lot of folks. If you're on the Roku box, if you have one, you can go to the Blueberry Network. I'm going to put it right on the screen here, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's spelled a little funny, but blueberry.com. All of our programming for both Word of Faith Ministries, this ministry, and Faith and Victory Church, the church that I attend, Pastor Ed Taylor, all of that programming is available through Blueberry. And this very netcast, this video netcast, is on Blueberry. Now, if you have the Roku box, you can go to Blueberry, you can select our netcast, you can hit a button, and you can watch this video netcast right on a Roku set-top box on your TV. If you've got a big HD TV or whatever, there's a doctor on that TV. Isn't that pretty neat? That's just amazing to me, the way the technology is going. And that's part of what helpsministry.tv is about, is to help you and your ministry take advantage of these technologies. Now, I stay on top of these technologies all the time because I'm a technologist and I work day in, day out. My secular job is a system administrator at High Point Regional Health System in High Point, North Carolina. And I'm just always staying up with technology. I have another netcast I do that's strictly technology oriented. And I talk about a lot of different things that are available on that netcast. And so I keep up with this stuff, and it's important. You say, what does this have to do with the Word of Faith? It has everything to do with the Word of Faith, because we're to reach the world with the gospel, and this is just one means. When TV first came out, people said, what are we going to do with TV as Christians? Now you look at Christian TV networks, satellite TV networks, programs, Brother Copeland's program. Jesse Duplantis has a TV program. Jerry Savelle has a TV. All these programs are made available, and they're being made available more and more over the Internet, where you can just download them and watch them, or watch them stream through something like the Roku box. It's just exciting, because these are all opportunities. See, I can remember back in the day when we had to get in the car and drive and drive and drive and drive to get into a meeting with Brother Copeland. Now we can just stream it to our TV. It's just really amazing and exciting what's available in these days. All right, well, I didn't really mean to get into all of that. Our time's getting away from us, but let's go into the Word of God, what I was going to talk about this week, and that is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm reading out of the King James this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, this scripture, you've probably read it before, and you probably looked into it before, but you miss a lot if you don't really dig into it the way we want to do today. There is no temptation. The word temptation is the Greek word pyrasmos. It means to put to proof, that is, to test you in the sense of adversity, but to do it as a means of an experiment. Okay? The temptation it's talking about here is a test or a trial. No test or trial has taken you but such as is common to man. Now, the term that's used here for common to man is anthropinos in the Greek, which means human or common to mankind or the manner of men. In other words, all men, all people, all humans face temptations, tests, and trials. They come to us, and they're common to us. There's not one, the point here is, there's not one that's bigger, more powerful, worse than is common to any other person. Don't feel like you've been isolated and picked out to be tested above everybody else. No, all these tests and trials and temptations are common among all of mankind. Okay? But the difference is, though they're common to all of mankind, we as believers have the means to resist them when others don't. People that aren't born again don't have this capability. So let's keep reading. There no temptation is taking you, but such is common to man. But, love that word but, it's there for a reason, but God is faithful. Now this word faithful in the Greek is trustworthy, trustful, and faithful. You can trust that God is there with the means to get you out of that temptation. God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Now, before I go any further, there are people who have misunderstood this. They think that God is tempting them. And they think this is saying, if you read it incorrectly, you can interpret it this way, and it's wrong. They think it's saying God tempts you, but with the temptation he provides a means of escape. No. The Word of God says very plainly, James chapter 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, let me really bear in on that. When it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. What do you think that means? It means don't say it. It means don't think it. It means it cannot be true. It cannot be so. It even goes on to say, when it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He says, for God tempts no man. Well, now, if God's not the tempter, who's the tempter? You know this, don't you? It's the devil. He's called the tempter. So Satan's the one doing the tempting, the testing, and the trying. You say, well, why would Satan experiment to find out whether I'm going to fail and fall? Because he wants to know how far he can push you. You got to remember, Satan in and of himself doesn't have the ability to do anything he wants to do. He has to use you. He has to use your authority. He has to use your mouth to say things that will set in motion the cycle of natural events in your life. And that setting in motion the natural cycle of events in your life by your words is how he does things in your life. So he tests you to find out how far can I get this guy to go? How far can I push them to say what they shouldn't say, to give me the right and privilege to do what I want to do in their life? And so he's constantly doing that. But it says here that God will not allow you to be pushed beyond what you're able with the temptation. Now remember, God's not the tempter. But when the temptation comes, you know that he is faithful, that he is trustworthy. He's right there on the scene to give you the means of escape. Now let's look at it. He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. Now the word escape here is ekbasis in the Greek. It means to exit or a way of escape. In other words, you can imagine it this way. Imagine, if you will, a corridor. Okay? You're walking down this corridor and it narrows tighter and tighter and tighter, and you're beginning to feel crushed in and claustrophobic. And so you feel trapped. There, it looks like there's no means of escape. The further you go down this corridor, the tighter and smaller it gets. But right there, there's a door. There's an escape. You can just open that door and walk right out, and you're no longer in that tight situation. You can trust, you can be assured that God has that door, that exit for you to get out of, that emergency exit. You can just open it and walk out, and you'll be safe. But you gotta believe that he's faithful, that he's just, and that he will provide that exit. Are you with me here? You've got to know that God's not the tempter. You've got to know that Satan's trying to push you, and it may feel like he's pushing you beyond your capabilities, but God will never allow him to push you beyond your capabilities, according to this scripture. And then you also got to realize God is always, always, always faithfully providing a means of escape. So you can get out of whatever that temptation, test, or trial, that situation is. He provides the way out. Now, let's go back and read this. There is no temptation, test, or trial taken you, but such as is common to all of mankind. You're not special. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to stand. But you need to understand that when the temptation comes from the tempter, he makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now the word bear here is huperero in the Greek. It means to bear from underneath, to undergo. In other words, you will be able to bear up and undergo whatever that temptation is. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, earlier in this chapter, and I encourage you to do this. Go to our website, WFM.org. There's a link there at the very top, Messages by Dr. Bill. Click on that, and there's an audio message there that talks about keeping your heart from evil. Okay? Click on that. Listen to that message. It is our study of this chapter. And I didn't get into this verse that we're looking at today in as much detail as we're looking at it today, but it explains that the issue of idolatry is not just the children of Israel building a golden calf and worshiping it. That's not the only kind of idolatry. You can have idolatry over something that is not technically sin. One of the examples I use in the teaching that I did was somebody that loves to play golf. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. Absolutely nothing. You get out in the fresh air, knock the ball around, get a little exercise, have a little fellowship with somebody that is a friend of yours, whatever. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you do it to the exclusion of your spiritual life, if you do it instead of going to church on Sunday morning, if you do it all the time to where it's eating up all your time, then it becomes idolatry. Idolatry is anything that, matter of fact, let me just go up a little earlier in this chapter and talk about something that he says here. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, talking about the children of Israel here. It says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and that rock was Christ. And with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters. Now, this is what I'm talking about the idolatry. As were some of them, for it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. You say, what does that have to do with idolatry? Here's what I'm talking about. Somebody that goes out and plays golf all the time. Again, nothing wrong with playing golf. I'm just using that as an example. But if they are constantly playing, see, that's what he says here. They sit down to eat and drink of spiritual things. They go to church. They eat of the spiritual things. But then they rise up to play. And all they do is play. All they want to do is play, 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 play. Whatever it may be. Some kind of game. Something you're involved in. Whatever it is that's got a hold of you can become idolatry. Can get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you quit going to church. Maybe you quit studying your Bible. Maybe you quit praying. And all you think about is this play, whatever it may be, whatever it is you're playing. Maybe it's not golf. Maybe it's watching too much TV. Maybe it's playing some kind of online game. I know some guys at work that play World of Warcraft, and they're just eat up with it. They play it all the time. Now, I don't understand that. I don't get into that kind of stuff. But that's all they talk about. I mean, when they're at work, They'll get aside and they'll say, I was over here and I did this and I killed that and I did this. Talking about World of Warcraft. It's a game. It's not life. It's not real. Now, it can be fun and there's nothing wrong with having fun. Do you understand? But when having fun eats up your life to where there's no life left, something is seriously wrong. And you need to repent of that. You need to pray about that. You need to get that out of your life because it can become idolatry. And it says here, God was not well pleased. Now, the study that I did that I encourage you to go listen to on the website, if you click on that and listen to it, or you can download it and listen to it in your iPod or whatever, you know, some device. I know I listen to stuff on my phone, my Android phone. I put MP3s on there, plug in my headphones, I can listen to stuff. However you want to listen to it, check that message out because it talks about this area of idolatry and this area of God not being pleased. And the phrase that's used here, God was not well pleased, the phrase is think of God being extremely pleased with you. You know, where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's just really pleased. The not is a qualifier on this Greek word that means not just not pleased, but extremely not pleased. Really put out with, okay? That's the phraseology that the Greek uses to explain what God says about people that get caught up in other things. See, God has never, ever taken idolatry lightly. One of the very first commandments was, you shall have no other gods before me. God has always been very serious about that. He has even called himself in the Bible a jealous God. Now, that's God loves you and cares about you that much, so much, that he wants you to want him and want his fellowship. He wants you to want to have a great and close relationship with him. And when you don't, it falls into the area of idolatry. And that is a very serious area. A very serious thing to fall into is this area of idolatry. I'd encourage you, I'm telling you, check your life. Constantly be aware. Is there anything that's eating up all my time? Is there anything that I seem to be enjoying more than fellowshipping with people of like precious faith and receiving from the Word of God? Whatever that is, I'd drop it. I mean, just drop it, because you need to have control over your time, your life, and your ability to get into the things of God. Idolatry is a very serious thing, and I encourage you to watch out for it. Be diligent to watch out for it. And realize that no temptation has come, no pressure has come that is not common to man, and God will provide a means of escape. All right, we're just about out of time. I'm going to have to stop right here, but I encourage you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. And, of course, you can always write me at my email address. I'd encourage you to do that. Our email is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at W-O-F-M, W-O-F-M stands for Word of Faith Ministries, .org. You can write me. I'd encourage you to do that. And remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.